Okay, good evening, good year. Hope everyone is doing well. hope everyone had a very nice Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully a inspirational one, while a healthy and safe one. I want to discuss this evening some of the halakha that pertained for the Aseres Mechuvah, as we're holding right now in the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And every year, depending on how the calendar falls out, there's always the same amount of Aseres Mechuvah, but not always are they like weekday days. This year, there's a lot of weekday Aseres Mechuvah, so I want to discuss some interesting shailas that come up for the days of Aseres Mechuvah. The topic I want to discuss first is the issue of food restrictions during Aseres Mechuvah. As many people are aware, there's a certain restrictions of food pertaining to Aseres Mechuvah, but I want to spend a little bit of time getting into it. So there's a tour in Simetof Reish Amad Gimel. The tour writes like this. Yushalmi says, Rebchia mafgid l'rav. Rebchia told Rav, Yata yochol l'meichol kula shayta b'tahara ochol. If you can eat the whole year chulin b'tahara, great. V'iloi, if you can't handle that, achol shiva yomim b'shato. At least 7 days out of the year, you should try to eat chulin b'tahara. That's the end of the Yushalmi. So Zok the Tor, the cause of Avi Ezvi, the Rav Yor writes, Kibalti elu, hey, Kibalti, I have a Kabbalah. Eluheim Shiva Yomim Shemim Rosh Hashanah Mekippur. Says the Rav Yor, I know what those days are. I know that those 7 days that the Yushalmi reference was referring to the days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. The Kairos and Shiva Yomim, why are those the 7 days? If you should be Rosh Hashanah, I heard Tzarech Lazir Lech B'Tahara, because it goes without saying that on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you're going to eat B'Tahara. Shepshita Sheyachah B'Tahara. Shechayv Adam B'Tahara Asa Maybe Regal, because you have to make yourself tar for Regal. But Lineda will talk about this Gemara on this upcoming Sunday. On Erev Yom Kippur, we'll discuss this Gemara. So therefore, Zok the Tor, if you have between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you have 9 days, and 2 of the days are Rosh Hashanah, V'loi Nisha Adayin, Alazayin Yimei Chos, you only have 7 weekdays. Shehotzrich L'Hazir Alein, and you have to be careful not to eat when you're tummy. So Zok the Yushalmi, that there's a din that during the Aseres Mechuvah, a person should be extra careful to eat Chulim B'Tahara, which means if he's tummy, he should go to the mikvah. Zok the Tor, and because of this, you shall me noyagim ba'ashkenaz, minagim ashkenaz, sha'af mishayin and nizami pas shall goyim b'cholashan, even though many of us are not careful on bread baked by a goy, we'll just call that pas akum, even though we know there's 2 categories. There's pas palter and pas balabayas, but we're just going to call it all bread produced by non-Jews, whether it be commercial or whether it be in their home. So the Torah says from this halacha that Rav, that Reb Chiya told Rav to eat chulim b'tahara, we learn from over here that a person should be makpid not to eat pas palter, pas balabayas during these 7 days. Now, what exactly is the jump from eating chulim b'tahara to eating pas palter? We'll have to see. But that's the way the Torah presents. And it's important for us to note this, as we'll see, when we try to figure out this evening, are there other chumras possible that one should also accept upon themselves during this time? The logic of the Torah was that if you're supposed to be makbid on eating chulim b'tahara, you should also be makbid on eating pas yisra. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Metaf Reish Adam Gimel. It says, "Af mishen nizam mipashal goyim." That's right. "Af mishen nizam mipashal goyim." Even if someone is not normally makbid on pas Yisrael, on only pas Yisrael, he'll eat entemins, he'll eat drakes, he'll eat Arnold's bread, he'll eat all these other things. Pasayus meitshuva tzarich lizar. But during that pasayus meitshuva, you have to be careful. So this is Mechamen Shulchan Aruch. No one seems to argue on it. It seems to be accepted la'alacha, like it's quoted in the Torah, it's quoted in the Rush. I believe it's even quoted in the Ran. Quite a few were trying to bring down this the din that during our Aseres Mechuvah was supposed to be makbid to eat only pas Yisrael. Okay, so that's halacha number one. Now the question I want to first, before we come back to figure out what's included in pas Yisrael, I just want to figure out, does this open up a Pandora's box for other chumras as well? Meaning, should I say to myself the same way that I'm supposed to be makbid on pas Yisrael during our Aseres Mechuvah, maybe I should also be makbid on chalav akum? Maybe I should also be makbid on Yashan. Maybe I should also be makbid on Beis Yosef Shchita. Maybe I should also be makbid on other types of chumras. Where does this end? Is there an end point for how far we should continue on to be machmir during our Aseres Mechuvah? Again, on the books in Shulchan Aruch it says it's supposed to be makbid on Pas Yisrael. Okay, what about something like Chol of Yisrael? Again, before Moshe Feinstein came to Psak, we always assumed that the milk that we buy that's not chavisa would be also to consume. So the question is, if I'm normally samechan of Moshe Feinstein to drink chal of companies, should I be machmir during this time not to be samechan of Moshe? Or let's say for those people that don't keep chadash, don't keep yashan, they're not machmir on yashan. As we had a share about this quite some time ago, about the idea of chadash and yashan. So maybe during this time I should be machmir. That's the question that I want to try to delve into this evening. Like, what happens if I come across a shayla tomorrow about Basa B'chalav? And it's Machloikas HaPoiskim. Maybe I should take the Machmir opinion because this is the season for Chumras. You know, let's say it comes Shabbos Shuvah and I have Machloikas HaPoiskim between Rav Moshe and the Chazanish, and Mishnah Berurah and the Chazanish, if something is Mutar on Shabbos. So maybe I should be Machmir because because it's slightly a never-ending road, in my opinion. Because there's always going to be issues that are going to go come up, and there's always going to be those machmir and those are mekel. So does that mean that during a says mechuvah, that's it? We're going to reject all mekel dikka approaches, and we're always going to be machmir? Is there some form of guidelines over here? So if you look in the Chayodom writes, number three, he says that lochein min haroi sheis anig odom says mechuvah v'chumrius. It says the Chayodim, you should know, Aseres Mitzvah is a good time to take on chumras that you don't normally keep the whole year. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'snag b'chassidois and b'riyasav, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu also does chesed with us. We want to go out of our comfort zone, Hashem goes out of his comfort zone. Zokter v'oichlin pas paltar kol hashon, and those are people who eat pas from a goyish baker whole year, but yom meil during this time, ro'ush le'lechol, it's not right, they should only eat pas Yisrael. V'chein b'chol hadvarim, this is true with all things. So one would get the impression from the Chayodim that don't just stop at bread. Stop at everything. Everything that we don't do, which we really should do, we should be machmir during our Seder Mitzvah. So one can make the argument that according to the Chayodim, even though the whole year we should be more machmir than Yashan, and many people are, but those that are not machmir at least should be machmir during our Seder Mitzvah. Even those Jews that are not machmir on Chol of Companies, and they hold that Chol of Companies is okay, then there's a mitzvah, they should be machmir. Even those Jews who don't eat, who are not machmir to get Beis Yosef Shchita, they eat Ramah Shchita. No, but during this time, we should be machmir. Is that what the Chayodim means? I don't know, it's hard to know. He writes these words. The chein b'chol advarim. It sounds like a general idea that we should always try to be machmir in those areas that we normally make all throughout the year. Now, does that mean if I have machlokes apoiskim and hilchos brachos between, you know, the chazanish and the mishnah berurah, that even though normally the minhag is to be make all up, but for these 7 days, change the rules. For these 7 days, we're going to do differently. Is that what it means? It's not clear. It's not clear from the Chayodim if that's what it means. Maybe it does mean that. Maybe if I have a machlokes apoiskim that comes up during these seven days, I'm going to go always lamachmir. You know, there's endless examples of where we have machlokes gedolei achrayim, and sometimes we'll make and sometimes we'll machmir. So maybe during these 7 days, meaning the rabbi's job should be very easy for these next 7 days. Any shayla that comes up, the answer is be machmir. Is that really what they mean? Mistama not. Mistama they mean certain areas or specific areas that are up for debate to be machmir or make, we should try to be machmir. But the Aruch HaShulchan quantifies it, I think, much clearer. The Aruch HaShulchan writes like this. It's good to be machmir on paspalter during these days. But if you have those things, that there are poiskim, who take a paskin that they're usher by the law. But we happen to hold like the matirin. Kemoi, chodesh b'chutz l'aretz. Says, chodesh b'chutz l'aretz. Let's say something that's a machlokes apoiskim, and again, I would add into this equation Rav Moshe Feinstein's kula for chol of companies. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, I efshar l'noi kemer says mitshuva. You cannot be machmir. The kivin shein oichlim yom meilu harei zek ki kabbalah alayim deos oisrim. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, how can you do that? For 354 days, the accepted practice is to be makel like these apoiskim. And now you're going to tell me that for 7 days I'm going to switch over to the other team? How do you go back afterwards? Bishlam or something like pas palter. I'm not saying I'm picking sides. I'm saying that I should really eat pas palter the whole year. But Norvos, it's too hard. And therefore the takana never really took a hold. But for these 7 days, I'll push myself. That's not the same thing as saying, you know, for these 7 days, I'm going to be machmir for every chumra out there. Says Aruch HaShulchan, you can't do that. If the whole year you're makel like a certain shita, why all of a sudden now you're going to be machmir, what are you going to do afterwards? So I always felt that based on this Aruch HaShulchan, there's no reason to be machmir on chodesh. There's no reason to be machmir on chol of stam. There's no reason to be machmir on anything. If we have a psak that we accepted for dairy dairies, that's the psak. Now, during these 7 days, there's no reason to switch my psak. My psak stays my psak. My psak is that I hold like Rav Moshe. That I hold this is chol of companies, this is considered chol of Yisrael. Or I hold like those poiskim, the Bach and others, that yoshon is not a problem. Chodesh is not a problem in chutzlar. It's fine. So I stick to my guns. So this Aruch HaShulchan always was my makar for why I felt there's no reason necessarily to be makben acholav stam during this time. However, this year, I saw an interesting Bais Yosef. Actually, I saw it in the Sefer Chag B'Chag written by Rav Moshe Karp, Paisik in Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes, he's Mitzayin this Bais Yosef in number 5. Very interesting Bais Yosef, and it's almost a borderline kasha on the Aruch HaShulchan. The Bais Yosef asks like this, let's go back to our original source. Where did we learn that you're supposed to be makbid on Pas Palter? We learned it from the fact that the Yushalmi says that Rav, that Reb Chiya told Rav he should try to eat chulim b'tahara. So the Rosh writes, the Bais Yosef writes this number 5. Heim divi harosh b'sof mesechus Rosh Hashanah, v'divi amodcha b'tchilasai, u'b'tash b'tzimim kofpe. Okay, all these Rishonim who quote this idea. Because of b'tash b'tzal divi Rav Yov, Rav Shmuel mi Bernog Omar deloidok. Reb Shmuel has a kasha. Why? The dafka chulim b'tahara delesbu iser toivu l'taratzman. He says, what's the comparison? When Reb Chiya told Rav, I want you to eat chulim b'tahara, he was saying is because there's nothing wrong with eating chulim b'tumma. You're not doing anything wrong. So here we're saying, go to an extra level of kedusha. Avo pas shol goyim dimshum esurahu. Inoyik b'hani asara yomim mikul l'shayt enami l'motzal ochel. Mamash d'aruch ha'shochan fayin, frek the Bais Yosef, I don't get it. If I'm going to take something which is really aser, like pas, and I'm going to be machmir for 7 days, how do I go back afterwards? So he writes, "Val korcho ve'ezu tayin." Zok the Bais Yosef, it's not a kash. The kivin de enes suri borer, since it's not so clear the iser elatoli b'minog me'achas shebishosh u'nizam elachola im b'dayt elizor kim oisin ayam buva pshitish shalim nesam b'shayim osasham. So Bais Yosef says very poshut. I'm not locking myself into anything. I know it's a discussion about pas palter. So I'm saying these 7 days I'm going to go l'chum, and then afterwards I go l'kul. So tainted Rabbi Karp in number six, based on this Bais Yosef, you can answer up to Aruch HaShulchan's taina. The Aruch HaShulchan's taina was 1 second. How can I be machmer on chodesh for 6 days and then go back to be mekel on chodesh? Zok to Rabbi Karp. That's what the Bais Yosef said you could do. He writes number 6. Most people ask, it's still up for grabs, and I would include in this category chol of stam. So when I started practicing this chumra, built into it is I only want to do it for 7 days. So therefore argues Rabbi Karp Faker, he thinks it's even more kedai to be makbid on chodesh during these 7 days, because as we mentioned many times, chodesh is a suffix of the raisa. And then he writes,
if let's say you hold it for 7 days, so let's say you don't do whatever it is for more than 3 days, do you then have to be matter never?
No, because the Bais Yosef is assuming that al-das, can you went into it? Everyone knows you only meant to keep it for this amount of time, and afterwards you want to, no ataris adarm is required, because al-das, can you accepted it? So if you follow that logic, so then I can hear one make the argument that you should be makbid achol of stam. Maisa achol of stam is still tali b'minog, so maybe you should be makbid. It's interesting, if you look at number 7, he quotes from Rabbi Yashuv, that he says, V'chein shemati me'agrein Rabbi Yosef shom l'adash v'shlita, d'pshita d'chol sh'yuchal lizal b'chodosh, u'shar chormnus sh'mekilim ben b'yom elu, yifroish. Rabbi Yashuv said, whatever you can be machmer on, you should. Again, so according to Rabbi Yashuv, you should try to be more machmer on chodosh, and according to Rabbi Yashuv, you should also be more machmer on chalav stam. The quote over here from Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, we hear that he disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky writes in number 8, yes, it's definitely a great idea to do tshuva by being more makbid on things. But he writes, but lamaisa, the minig was only on the bread. He says the reason why they picked that was because that was one of the staples of life. That brings out the tshuva much more. There's no minig that you have to be makbid on certain chumras. That's a good idea. Again, everyone has to find their own path to tshuva. But Shmuel is basically saying there was never a minute kavua besides for pas. So again, if a person wants to be makban a chol of stam during this time, a person wants to be makban and yoshan, it seems like there is a reason to do so, but if you take the Aruch HaShulchan, strictly speaking, I don't see why a person should. But as Rabbi Karp Tainis on this Bais Yosef, it's mashma that you should. I remember a couple of years ago, I called Rabbi Forsheimer from Lakewood. Rabbi Forsheimer is a big paisik in Lakewood. He's actually a Talmud of Shmuel Kamenetsky. And I told him, I said, is there a reason to be Makman Chav Yisrael? He said, yes. I told him the Aruch HaShulchan. He didn't seem to be too impressed by it. He didn't think that's a fair taina. He said, well, you should try to be Makman. Okay, I'm not so sure. But in any case, that's an argument that people make, that maybe during this time you should be Makman on other Chumriyas as well. I found that what I thought.
Does past palter include also not having entomans, for example?
Yes, yes. We'll get to in a second. We'll get to all the details in a second. Yeah, but I wasn't sure how to present the shir. Should I first explain past palter and then talk about this? But maybe I should have explained it a little bit more. But in 2 seconds, Blineder, we'll get into all the details of past palter. Just interesting, I found over in the Sefer Yisrael Vazman written by Reb Harfiniz, who's a big Satmir Paisik. He writes it on Menor, and I thought it was funny. He writes, meaning, no shortcuts. You gotta go to everything that's Chumrah. Don't search for Kulas. You know, again, I don't know what that means. There's so many areas in halacha that have leniencies built in. You know, where do you cut out and what you cut out? Okay, we'll leave it at that. And he writes about Alkein ein lecho pas palter usha Alkein yedaktik lespal tfilas arvus bizman. He thinks that during Asher Shmeichuva there should be no early mayrivs. No one should have a mayriv before this man. Umestavet kamei kena regil mespal tfilas arvus bibein hashmoshes yachmiu beil ayom lespal bizman says chum vade. He says you shouldn't daven like a mincha mayriv back to back like many shuls do. You should have a Ma'ariv Bizmanu after Laila. This is even a bigger Chiddush. He's extending the Chumrah of Pas Palter beyond just what you eat, to even how you conduct your life. Even though, strictly speaking, there's room to be Mekel to daven Mincha Ma'ariv back to back, he says, no. During the Hezmei Tshuva, everyone should have to daven only Bizmanu. Okay. I don't know if that's accepted, but that's an interesting idea that he brings up. So let's spend some time now trying to tackle what exactly is included in the ban of Pas Palter. What can't I eat? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch number 10, this is all in Yerodeh. There's an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch devoted to Pas Palter. And that's siman Kuf Yud Beis. The first siman in the third krach of Yerodeh Gimel, is Pas Palter. Again, in the past, I've thought about having shiurim on it, so I figured let's try to wrap it up now while we're learning this. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that this number 10, Asru chachomim lechol pas shal amamim, you're not allowed to eat bread of goyim. Why? Mishum chasnus. So right off the bat, the reason why we're not allowed to eat bread baked by goy was because exeir drabonim, we may come to marry. Zogtu ramova, filu b'mokim delekim mishum chasnus, even if there's no chance of chasnus, why is there no chance of chasnus? So the Shach explains, let's say you live next door to the priest. The priest has no kids. Who are you going to marry? Well, let's say you have no kids. Your kids are all married. So even if there's no chasnus, it's still us. But here's where it gets interesting. It's only bread that is made from the five grains. But it's from beans or rice or millet. It is not included. So this is important. Why is this important? Because what are the five grains? Wheat, oats, barley, spelt, and rye. Even though we've spoken in the past many times, it's not so posh if oats are really one of the five grains. It's still up for debate, Adayim Hazeh. But nonetheless, let's just assume for argument's sake, and we'll be negeya because we'll try to talk later today, what happens if you want to eat Cheerios during the Asher Shmei Tshuva? Cheerios is a very popular breakfast cereal. Cheerios is with oats. So if oats is one of the five grains and you're going to have a problem, it's going to be pas palter. Even though they do make the oat, you make the Cheerios in the Frum company, but it's not nearly as good as the regular Cheerios. But in any case, the five grains are a problem. So let's say, for example, someone who eats rice bread, or quinoa bread, or anything else that's not made from one of the five grains, you don't have any problem of this. So that's the first thing that's important to note, that the Isser of Pas Palter is only if it's from the five grains. For those people who are on celiac diets, or they're eating, again, gluten-free doesn't mean there's not oats in it, but if you're eating something that has no oats or wheat in it, so then you don't have a problem. So let's say, for example, if you want to buy rye spelt bread, you could buy Pas Palter spelt bread or rye, I'm sorry, not spelt, that's also one of the five grains. If you're getting quinoa bread, or you're getting rice bread, or you're eating, let's say, for example, you're getting cookies and cakes that have none of the five grains in them, you don't have to worry about that. Now, what about cookies and cakes? We keep on talking about bread. So I can't go into the store and I can't buy bread. Just to point out, I made this mistake yesterday. Be careful when you go to the grocery stores. I'm talking about the kosher ones. They serve some very geschmack of French bread. Most of those French breads are not Pas Yisrael. So just be careful if you're going out to buy French bread. Just make sure you look on the label to make sure it says that it's Pas Yisrael. I made that mistake yesterday and had to buy more bread because it was not Pas Yisrael. So bread we know is a problem. Bread, bagels, all a problem, need to be Pas Yisrael. Okay, so if you want to, I just spoke to the Vada Five Towns today, actually. They were very helpful. If you go to the Dunkin' Donuts in five towns. The bagels are not Pas Yisrael. The bagels are not Pas Yisrael, and therefore you should not eat the bagels during this week. Do not go to Dunkin' Donuts and order a bagel. They told me, the person on the VAT told me that there are signs up in the Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know. I have not been to the Dunkin' Donuts in the five towns. Maybe anyone who's listening was there can tell me if that's true or not. But halach is do not eat, should not eat the donuts, not the donuts, the bagels that are made in the Dunkin' Donuts. I would assume it's the same for the Dunkin' Donuts here in Queens. Those are all baked somewhere else, and they're not under the auspices of, under Bishul Pas Yisrael. They are deemed Pas Palt. Okay. Now, what else is included in this violation? Let's say, forget breads for a second. Let's say I want to eat cookies and cakes and pretzels and wafers. So in number 11, the Ramah writes,
V'chaynoig v'oysan nilush shekayin kuchlich aymini mesika shekayin lekcha.
And everyone knows what lekcha is. Right, if you ever go to a good old-fashioned yard site, what do they serve?
Lekcha and bromfen.
Right, that's sponge cake and schnapps. So lekcha is a sweet cake. Heim b'chlal pas. Zogt Ramah, cake is included in the violation of pas. Okay, and if the place, if you have a heter for that, you have a heter for the cake also. But the Ramah says very clearly that that cakes are under the banner of pas paltu, which means you can't eat drakes, the entomins, whatever other brands that are out there that are not bishul, that are not pas Yisrael. Now, why? Why are cookies and cakes included in the ban? So if you look in the Taz writes, number 12, Kivin di
because if I were to eat enough of this bread and the cookies, I would turn into a meal and I'd have to wash. Okay, dinim kepas mamish. So if it says the Taz, the reason why these things are considered like bread is because they can easily turn into bread. If I eat enough cake and enough cookies, it turns into bread. So writes the Taz. If you look in the Shach, in number 13, he writes a line over here where he writes that the reason why cake is a problem is because the yesh behem toar lechem. It has what's called toar lechem, also known as tzura de pas. It looks like bread. And a piece of cake looks somewhat like bread. And therefore, zok teshach, that's why it's a problem. So cookies, cakes, those things should all be avoided during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. The big question is, what about donuts? This is why I called the Vad today. What about donuts? What are donuts considered? So this is a big discussion. So I picked the Sefer Oil Yaakov written by Rabbi Skatchelis. He was a former, grew up in my community, grew up over here in Queens. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. I like his form because he quotes a lot of the contemporary poiskim, which I wouldn't have access to some of their writing. So he writes over here like this. Sufganiyot dinon kepas akum. He says, donuts have a din of pas akum. Okay. Why is that important for us? Valkein, therefore, Mishin Nizor, Machilas Pas Palter, Olav Achmegam, Besufkaniyos, Anasim Adigoyim. Therefore, if you're Machbid on Pas Akum, you can't eat donuts. Now, he writes over in number 15, V'ayim Mechelkas Binyamin. That's a sefer written by Reb Binyamin Cohen, the son of Reb Feivel Cohen, who wrote a very good Shemaka sefer called Chelkas Binyamin. He copied his father's layout of the Badi HaShulchan. For those of you that are familiar with his father's writings, the Badi HaShulchan is a very, very well-written, well-organized sefer. So his son, Binyamin, I think he runs a koilel in somewhere in the Five Towns. I think he has a koilel or something. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So he writes a sefer called Chelkas Binyamin. So there he writes, also, Shehichmir Bezeh, also Machmir, and he holds that Rabbi Binyamin Cohen holds, no, that donuts are considered fried in oil, not baked, and therefore they have a din of bishul not pas. Now this is very important. Why? Because here's like this. If you hold that donuts have a din of pas, so then I'm make of a whole year to eat donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, but I can't eat them during this week. So again, if you hold that donuts have a din of pas, they're considered baked, so the whole year long I can eat donuts and Dunkin' Donuts, because it's pas palter, and we're make with pas palter, but I can't eat donuts this week. But if you hold donuts are considered cooked, so then really you have to ask yourself one second, how am I ever allowed to eat donuts? Bishul Akum is a problem. So the answer that you're going to have to give is that you hold that donuts are not nechal al sholcham alach. In order for Bishul Akum to be also, it has to be a food that's nechal al sholcham alach. So you'll make the argument that since donuts are not served at a royal banquet, I don't believe the Queen of England, if she had breakfast, a royal breakfast, she'd have donuts. Therefore, it's not nechal al sholcham alach, and therefore it's mutter. That's the Rabbi Forrest Paskins. And that's what the Vat told me is their angle. The Vat told me their angle is that in a chanami, the bagels in Dunkin' Donuts, you definitely cannot eat this week. That's for sure. Pass, that's awesome. What about the donuts? So the donuts, they taina, they're tell people that the Yeshami Lismach, and this is Rabbi Forst's opinion. Again, not everyone agrees to it, but Rabbi Forst holds that donuts are not considered baked, they're considered cooked. And since they're considered cooked and they're not served al Shulchan Malachim, you can eat it a whole year long. So if you this, you could taka eat Dunkin' Donuts the whole week. So, and that's what he told me, that's what the Vad is saying on today. So that's why you can go into Dunkin' Donuts this week and buy a donut, but you definitely, definitely cannot go in and buy a bagel. The bagels are for sure not Pas Yisrael, and that presents a problem. Okay, now, besides for donuts, it goes without saying, he writes over here, Hinei kaim melon l'hachmer v'seish me'tshuva, bein b'pas, bein b'ugois v'ugios, u'b'chol dover sh'nichol b'ged d'pas akum, v'af l'achmonius bagel, ha'mukhonim pretzels, pretzels and crackers, and all these things would be included in Pas Palter, and they should not be eaten during this time of the year. Okay, now, an interesting side note that many people are not aware of is that Mr. Brewer writes in Hilchos Shabbos, number 17, he writes, "Afilu hanoigim le'echol Pas Palter shel en Yehudi b'chol, even those that are mekal to eat Pas Palter during the week, mikol mokai m'shabbos v'yomdav nochon lizor shel alocha ki'im e'pas Yisrael. But you shouldn't eat Pas Palter on Shabbos. Ki'im ibnei kovet ha'shabbos v'yomdav. Only because of Kovet Shabbos V'Yomtiv." Okay? So it sounds like a person shouldn't eat the whole Shabbos. Not a Shabbos party, not for dessert. A person should really try to stay clear of... Again, it's not clear to me, because if you look at the next line, he writes, "Uposhet, dehimu oynis, if a person is an oynis, she'en la ma'al kaddish, he doesn't have what to make kiddush on, ki ma'al pashen yehudim, the only bread he has is pal palter, kimoi shematzil anshe chayel o'ivrim, like many of the soldiers, then you can make kiddush." So I think I once heard from Rav Shech, there's a deen how to learn this Mishnah Berurah. Does the Mishnah Berurah mean that you only shouldn't eat Pas Palter just for your Lechem Mishnah? Meaning you shouldn't buy Lechem Mishnah rolls that are not Pas Palter? Or does he mean you shouldn't eat Pas Palter throughout the whole day? Even Shabbos party, even dessert, even Kiddush, nothing should be Pas Palter. I thought I remember him saying, and I think that's a simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah, that you shouldn't eat it at all. You shouldn't eat it at any point on Shabbos. There's no point on Shabbos should you eat Pas Palter. Which is something that I don't know if a lot of people are machmir on, but the Mishnah Berurah does write like this. A person should try the whole, every Shabbos V'Yom Tov, try not to eat Pas Palter, try to buy non-Pas Palter, meaning don't buy cookies and cakes and pretzels and bread that is not Pas Yisrael. If you look over here in the Sefer Oel Yaakov, he brings down another interesting machlokes achronim. What about a Chol HaMoed? As we get closer to the Yom Tov of Sukkot, we're going to have a Mitzvah Shem Chol HaMoed. Should a person be machmir on Pas Yisrael on Chol HaMoed? So he quotes over here from a bunch of different achronim. So he writes over here, firstly, Vihine. Kosvuli Agur Reb Chaim Kanevsky, he writes, Reb Chaim Kanevsky and Reb Avigdor Nevinsol both said, Shiyesh l'hachmer shalecha pas palta b'chol amoyd. They both paskin that you should be machmer not to eat pas palta even a chol amoyd. Not only Shabbos v'yomtiv, but even chol amoyd. And then he writes from Reb Moshe Sternbuch and from Reb Zvi Lorbach that they both said, no, Shabbos v'yomtiv, only chol amoyd is mutter. So it's machlokes achronim. I guess there's room to be makel, it's machlokes achronim, whether or not on chol amoyd also we're limited to only pas. Pas Yisrael. He does write over here. It's really a mafurish shach. Nirish amachmir lecho rak pas Yisrael by says mechuvi yachmir gam be pas palter shetotim yois be pas Yisrael. One of the big etayim during the year to why we're allowed to eat pas palter is because we argue that pas Yisrael doesn't taste as good. Right, the Oreo cookies taste better than the Bloomies cookie, and the Dunkin' Donuts taste better than the Jewish company, which is again is an argument even lahalacha. But during that says mechuvi that doesn't fly. Even if the Dunkin' Donuts is better than the Jewish company, which personally I happen to like the Jewish donuts better than Dunkin' Donuts. I happen not to be the biggest fan of Dunkin' Donuts, but that's just me. I like the Jewish baked. I mean, you go to a grocery store, you can get the donuts that look just like Dunkin' Donuts. I think they taste better. But in any case, so he writes over here. It's really a shach that there's no heter because it tastes better. So really, we really should stay clear for the next couple of days of the Oreos of the Entenmann's, all that stuff. It should all be replaced with the kosher man. Baruch Hashem, we live in a world today, there's so much Pas Yisrael. There's a lot of Pas Yisrael. I had a Talmud of mine told me he went traveling, mamish, in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere, he went to some state. I forgot already which one. One of these states that they barely have a Chabad house. And he told me he went to the store, went to Walmart, Pas Yisrael cookies. You can buy Pas Yisrael cookies. So Baruch Hashem, we live in a place today that there's endless amounts of Pas Yisrael. So for 7 days, we'll give up on the Entenmann's, we'll give up on the, what are the other companies that people eat? I don't know, really. Entenmann's is the big one, and Stella Doro's. No, we'll give up for a couple days, it's manageable. What about the kids? What about giving up for the children? So Shmuel Kamenetsky has a chiddush over here, and I think it's a big chiddush because I saw many achronim who disagree with him. He writes, "Ubishar Shabbos," he writes over there, Shmuel Kamenetsky is of the opinion that you don't have to be mechanech children in not eating pas palta during these days. Why? So he says like this.
Ubishash Shabbosas Hashanah Moisin Shnoigim Hakolitim Pas Palta Shakum Lektanim Ubehechuch Shnoigim Lechanech Tanim Nenegze. Tainer Reb Shmuel, I'll bring you a raya. He says we just learned before that you're supposed to be makbid not to eat pas Yisro, not to eat pas palter on Shabbos V'yomtiv. But all the kids at Shabbos party eat pas palter. Right? When I always talk about this topic, my Talmidim always say, what? You can't have Stella Dora cookies on Shabbos afternoon? Everyone eats Stella Dora cookies. So I guess in the Kamenetsky house, they also had the pas palter. So Tain Reb Shmuel, from the fact that all the kids eat on Shabbos V'yomtiv, pas palter, so you see that there's no chayiv to mechanech them. So who had then? There's no chayiv to mechanech them during Aseres Metshuva. Now to me, the kash is higufo. Why do we give the kids that on Shabbos? Maybe we should talk and not give the kids Stella Dora cookies on Shabbos. I started not, Grada. I started watching more carefully what I give my kids for Shabbos party, and I try not to give them pas palta. I try to only give them pas Yisrael. Again, today it's so easy to do. All you got to do is buy the Libra's cookies and the Pashkas. Everything today is so easy to get pas Yisrael. But I'm just saying, his riot to me is al ze anudonim, higufo. The fact that we're not makbid is gufa kasha. Why aren't we makbid? Okay, but that's what Shmuel Kamenetsky's right. So Rabbi Kleinman asks Rav Shmuel, he says, one second, v'kshesi the moiv Rabbi Shlita. Mahadi isim v'shochan arach tov kovnal sevi yudalda mechanach ketan b'eset es bayis v'chitza. What do you mean? There is such a concept called mechanach children. That's why kids are not allowed to take haircuts during the 9 days. So what's the difference? Right? We didn't give our kids meat during the 9 days. So why all of a sudden are we allowed to give the kids Nabisco and Entenmann's? So Rabbi Shmuel answered, v'heishi moiv Rabbi Shlita, the evshu the minag avelos the rabbi m'shani the chom etzveit. He said, first of all, that's avelos. Avelos is different. When we have something avelos to rab, and we have an entire community is mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, so that even the little kids have to join in the mourning. And then he writes another pshat. He also says, "Ulo'ilam v'negzeh ein din chinuch b'fat demidi da'chila amina da'hanu ribis." He says, "Well, Maisa, the kids need to eat. Kids need to eat. You can't start cutting down on their diets. Even though, again, we cut down on their diets, we don't let them eat meat during the 9 days. But Zot Shmuel, this is something that we don't cut back again." I saw many other poskim, they disagree with this, and they say, why not? If the kid's old enough, don't give them pas palter. You have a kid, again, if you have a 5-year-old kid, they don't know which way's up, so why are you going to waste your time? You have an 11-year-old kid, the kid's a gil chinuch, why would you give him pas palter? So again, so I use this of Shmuel Hakel in case you have a situation where whatever the reason the case is, that the kid's, you could be mekel, Shmuel holds you could be mekel, but I think others disagree with him, and they hold that you should not be mekel, and kids that are gil chinuch, you should taka not give them pas palter. You should try to be, again, if you only have pas Yisrael in the house, so it's not going to be a shayla, the kids won't have what to eat, they'll only eat the pas palter. Okay, so now the big shayla comes up, what about our breakfast? Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but some of our breakfast cereals might be pas palter. So how do we eat breakfast? So one answer is you're telling me you're supposed to buy the Jewish companies. So you buy only the Jewish company cereal, so you don't have a problem. Okay, it's one eitzah. If you look at number 21, in the Oral Yaakov, this Rabbi Skatchelis, he writes,
Be'ikra adin shal dagoni haboy. I've been on the Oral Yaakov a bunch of times, and I see him on the sheet further. What's his name again?
I said his name is Rabbi Yaakov Skatchelis. He's a young guy. I think he's maybe my age, maybe even younger than me. He grew up here in Kew Gardner Hills. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a lot of svarim on different topics. But the reason why I like quoting him is because he's always mitzayin. He apparently did a lot of research with the contemporary poiskim. So he's got always the contemporary poiskim's angle, which is always helpful in these types of shiur. So he writes like this. What about Cheerios? Let's say tomorrow morning you want to eat Cheerios, right? Cardiologists say Cheerios is good for heart, it's good for this, good for cholesterol, okay, whatever. Whatever it says in the box, they try to get you to buy it. So Cheerios are good for you. Cheerios are oats. Oats are one of the 5 grains, presumably. So why am I allowed to eat Cheerios? Am I allowed to eat Cheerios? So he writes like this. He says, V'shom mevor sh'agayinu b'shom mizaman orbach v'agayinu b'yosef shom v'ashlita noktu sh'yesh bo zeh toa lechem. That both of B'liyashev and B'shom mizaman held that it has a look of bread, and therefore it's considered pasav abakistin. If it's pasav abakistin, which means you eat enough of it, you have to bench, and therefore it's considered pas palter. So according to B'shom mizaman and B'liyashev, you cannot eat your Cheerios in the morning. Okay, so now we already have machoikas achreinim. The Pinchas Scheinberg held it does not have tzuras lechem. Those little Cheerios don't look like bread. Also, there's a possibility, which we'll see even more so, that they don't really bake the Cheerios; they really cook the Cheerios. They do a little baking afterwards. Not even baked. He thinks not to be mach. But again, I don't care much for what he has to say, nothing personal, but I want what he broke so here. So Yerushalmi Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv both held Avad Itzasim. Reb Pinchas Sheinberg held this mitzvah. So we have a big machlokes achronim on our hands. Reb Eliashiv and Reb Shammai Zalman held Cheerios are aser. Reb Pinchas Sheinberg held Cheerios are mutter. But if you look over number 22 in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas, Rabbi Kleiman quotes from Rabbi Forsheimer, and he writes the Indian Cheerios. Shamadi mimumchim she'einu ne'efes klal. Says Rabbi Forsheimer, I heard from experts there is absolutely no baking whatsoever in the Cheerios. Now again, you can probably Google this and find out yourself. But he says there was no baking. Ulechen ene pas, it's bechal na pas, and therefore it's only bishul. Ah, if it's only bishul, why isn't it bishul akum? He says bishul, it's ene ilah shochem lachem. The Queen of England would not eat a bowl of cereal for breakfast, and therefore he writes kumishkos again if Henkin. He says that avadas again it's negated two things. Let's say a guy eats a lot of Cheerios. Does he have to bench? The answer is no. Cheerios are not pas above a kistin. Cheerios are not baked; they are cooked. Therefore, there's no bishul akum on Cheerios, and therefore, I'm sorry, there's no pas akum on Cheerios. It's not pas above a kistin. So according to Rabbi Forsheimer, according to Pinchas Sheinberg, eat your Cheerios tomorrow, no problem. Okay. Then he quotes Ovei number 23 from Rabbi Belsky. Amnam Reisi b'shem Agorin, Rabbi Belsky. Rabbi Saul Belsky, Shekosav Lahachmir, Rabbi says, Mechuva Kimin Sheish Oim Sheish Lov Tar Pas. No, Rabbi Belsky was Machmir. So you have Rabbi Belsky, Rabbi Shoy Mezalman, Rabbi Yashiv saying not to eat Cheerios, while you have Pinchas Sheinberg, and Rabbi Forsheimer, and Rabbi Henkin, all saying that Cheerios is okay. Then he writes in the bottom, he quotes from Rabbi Felder from Lakewood. I think his first name is either Shlomo or Shmuel, I don't remember. Where he writes, what about giving Cheerios to the kids? So he writes, what about giving Cheerios to the kids? So what would we pass into this? We'd say, Svek Sveka! Right? Why? First of all, maybe that loch is like a Pinchas Sheinberg and Rabbi Forsheimer, that Cheerios are not baked. And even if it is baked, maybe we could be saying, Chanab Shmuel, come and ask if they allowed to give it to the Ketanim. So we would have no problem giving our kids Cheerios in the morning. So he writes over here, "Shemaktanim ufunokim v'mnoisim lam degani boiker sheyisrael shemishunim b'talam lo yochlu oisim." Many kids are very particular in what they eat, and if you start switching the brands with them, they won't eat it. So he writes, "That's considered ene motzi." It's like you can't find it. The halach is if you can't find pas yisrael, you're allowed to eat pas palter. So he writes, in such a case, you can be mekel, which sounds like other than that, you should be machmir. Which sounds like, not like we saw from Mishmo Kamenetsky. He thinks the attacker should be machmir not to give the kids Cheerios. Say if the kid makes a fist, blows a casket, says, "Ah, absolutely not, I'm not eating the kosher company." So then you can give him the pas palter. But other than that, it sounds like you should be machmir. I would have argued a svek sveka like we made up. According to those paiskim that hold us not pas. And even if it is pas, maybe Mishmo Kamenetsky is right. They're allowed to give it to him. So I think there might be more reasons to give your kids Cheerios than perhaps give yourself Cheerios. So halacha lemaisa, it's a machlokes achronim. Whether or not you can eat Cheerios. So again, if you can't find anything else to eat, okay, so I guess you probably can be samech on plenty of paiskin that held that Cheerios are not a problem. So halach l'maisa, it's a question. Then he talks about an interesting shaila, number 24, which is negeya, depending on where you lived. I lived many years in Kew Gardens. So in Kew Gardens is one grocery store. It's a Hamish grocery store. It's owned by a bunch of Chassidish Eden. And they run the store. They're the checkout counters. They do the checkout. So the shayla is, what happens if you go to the store during this week and you buy Entenmann's and you buy Nabisco and you buy whatever all the other good companies are? Is the guy behind the counter supposed to say, "I'm sorry, I'm not selling it to you. I can't give you Entenmann's. And I'll eat Entenmann's now. I can't sell you Nabisco. I can't sell you all these things." Or that's not his business. He sells the food. After that, you're on your own. Is this like Siyuel Advar Aver? So first of all, the Chayr, the few what we saw, first of all, as one of my Talmidim pointed out, how do you know when you're eating it? Maybe you can eat it after Seis Mitzvah. B, according to Shmuel Kamenetsky, maybe you're giving it to your kids. Your kids are not allowed to eat it, so maybe you shouldn't make such a rash. So he goes through a whole list of Achrayim, and we weighed in on the Shayl. He quotes over here that he asked the Shayl to the Avnei Yeshva. It's a contemporary, he wrote a Sefer, a Geshmaka Sefer, the Avnei Yeshva. So he asked him the Shayl. Number 24. Do you have to let the buyer know? He said you don't have to let them know. Why? It's not really osur. That's on hoga toiva. The famous nesivis holds if you accidentally eat an issa de rabbanon, you don't need a kapar, because you weren't over, because again, Esuri Derabbanan are not Esuri Cheftzas, Esuri Derabbanan are only Esuri Gavro, and therefore you didn't violate it, because you didn't know about it. Mashiach, if you eat poison by mistake, you still ate poison. But then he writes, I asked the shayla to other poiskim, and they told me, no, shechayav moedi, you gotta tell them. Let's say you know the guy's machpid, he just totally had a lapse of judgment, he forgot. He said, that's what Chaim Kanevsky told him, and that's what Nevinsol told him, that if you, let's say you see a guy going into the store, and he's about to buy entomin, you should tell him, by the way, we don't need entomin now. Interesting shot. Okay.
So during the 9 days, if somebody comes in and wants to buy meat, you would have to tell them also?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess the answer would be, is again, during the 9 days, you assume he's buying it for Shabbos. Right. So that's what I would have thought. I would have thought the same thing. I would have thought, how do I know what's going on in this guy's life? You know, cookies and cakes, he's buying for afterwards, you know. It's hard to know with these things, you know, when we should nudge our head into other people's carts and not. Sometimes it's better we keep our head in our outside our cart. But again, I think if you have a guy who Taka just doesn't know or forgot, but you know he wants to do the right thing, yeah, I think it's nice to point out to him, oh, by the way, you know, we're not supposed to eat this now. Again, I think if you lined up 100 Jews, especially if you lined up 100 from women and asked them, do you know you shouldn't be buying this, this, that, and the other? I don't think they would know it. And I think if they would know it, they would Taka want to be Makbid. I just think they don't know. But again, I call the fee in, and again, it might not be good for business if you're always looking in people's carts and telling them what they shouldn't buy. Or better for business because the Jewish companies are usually more expensive. So you tell them, no, don't buy Nabisco, buy Lieber's, you know, for a little bit more money. Okay, so that's a little bit about Paspalter. We should be careful with all this till after Yom Kippur. Some other interesting halacha. So this year, I decided to get into a new campaign of picking up all the Mat Ephraims, which the Welt does not follow. We always mention that the Mat Ephraim is used religiously during this time, and it is. Mr. Brewer quotes it all over the place. But there are certain Mat Ephraims, at least to my knowledge, that just didn't make the cut, halacha l'maisa. We mentioned a couple last week, and I want to mention a couple this week. So first of all, number 25. Said the Mat Ephraim, Bebirchas HaMozen Shekol Yud Yimei Tshuva. In the benching during the entire Seder Yimei Tshuva, Yesh Noigim Loimar Harachamon Yichadish Kemoi B'Rosh Hashanah. You say the same Harachamon that you do on Rosh Hashanah. Does anyone say that? I'm not aware of anyone who actually does that. But Mat Ephraim writes like that, Yeretz Yesh Noigim. Now, you're telling me Yesh Noigim means Yesh, and Yesh not Noigim. Okay? But that's the way he writes it. But I found even better, I found the Nitik Gavriel, where he quotes on the bottom that many people have this minig. And they go till the Shana Rabbah. And he writes on the bottom, Kain Minig Chassidim. That's the Minig amongst the Chassidim. U Minig Bells Vitsans Loyimar Kain Ad Shabbos Bereshis. In Sans and Bells, they say this Arachamun through Shabbos Bereshis, including Shabbos Bereshis. Because again, Admar Mitsans Klausenberg, the Klausenberg Rebbe, Hayom Arachamun Yichadashan as a Shana Zazet Tavil Racha, Shana Toiva Umesuka Kidvash. That was his Nusach. That he used to say that it should be a good year, sweet like honey. Okay? I'm not aware of too many people who do this, but that's the way the Mat Ephraim brings it down. Then the Mat Ephraim brings down another minhag. He writes number 27. The Yesh Noigim, again, maybe Yesh Noigim doesn't mean you have to do it, but he writes Yesh Noigim. Loimer b'shas haitzose v'teru yudgimu midas v'yipreni shaloylam sh'oimim b'rosh Hashanah v'chein b'chol aseris yimei tshuva. Taka every aseris yimei tshuva b'tzayim gedaya u'bebeiz v'hei b'shosh yimaitziyim l'kris. Every time you take out the Sefer Torah, starting from Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Tzayim Gedai included, you say Yud Gimel Midas and Ribbono Shel Olam. Rak b'Shabbos Tshuva ein Oimim. You don't do it on Shabbos Tshuva. Has anyone ever been to Shul and they saw that? I have not. But that's another Mat Ephraim that he brings down. Now the next Mat Ephraim is already recorded earlier in the Ramah. Says the Mat Ephraim, No Yagim. There's another minhag Shei Mikach and Alavona B'Yom Meilu. We don't do Kiddush Lavona during these days. Ad Matzi Yom Kippur. We wait till Matzi Yom Kippur, which this year is Monday night. Even this year we have a Matzah Shabbos. So therefore one would have made the argument that we should be Mekash Levon on Matzah Shabbos. Says the Mat Ephraim, no. V'karavu Zayin Yom Meislais, you already passed 7 days. So even the Chassidim would be comfortable being Mekash Levon on 7 days after the Moilid. Still we don't. But let's say you know that you might not be available, or it might be cloudy for the next 3 nights, or they're expecting a big storm, or you're going to be away and you won't be able to. Then Yochel Katcha Kodim Yom Kippur. So the sounding from the Mat Ephraim, it's like a Shas Atchag Godel, where you won't be able to do it afterwards. You won't be able to do it afterwards. So then you could do it before. But other than that, we should try to do it only after Yom Kippur. Question is what? What's wrong with being Mikach to Alvana before? So if you look in the Ramah, number 29, the Ramah writes, A Mikach and Alvana and Matzi Yom Kippur. We're not Mikach to Alvana until Matzi Yom Kippur. And he writes this in two places. He writes this in Hilchas Yom Kippur. He writes this in Chelik Dalet of the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchas Kiddush Levana Siman Tov Chavav. he writes, we're not Mekadosh Levona until Matzi Yom Kippur. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Vilna Gaon writes in number 30. Why? Kamash Yukasim and Mesech HaSeifrim. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's based on Mesech HaSeifrim. The Dafka Kishim of Usamu Besimcha. Because we know you're supposed to be Mekadosh Levona when you're dressed up and you're in a good mood. But Matzi Yom Kippur and Baskal Yotz is Ramos La'ocho Besimcha. So the Vilna Gaon, Matzi Shabbat, Matzi Yom Kippur, we're in a good mood. We feel good. Right, it's a simcha, it's a good feeling, slich l'kapara. But until then, we don't feel so happy. Therefore, we don't do the levon. Ve'evi agos ma'iminis ma'ashenogu. Okay, but then he writes at the end, v'ho'iko kiyei shaymim she'toyv the kaddish alavon akedim ekipurim. And nonetheless, says the Vilna Gaon, I disagree. Even though the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, you should be mekaddish levon until Matzi Yom Kippur, because then you'll be besimcha and you'll be happy, and it's the best time to be mekaddish levon. I think you should do it early. You know why? So this mitzvah should tip the scales. We need all we can get. We need a nacha mitzvah. So therefore, I think you should be kaddish levana earlier. So according to the Vilna Gaon, you should be kaddish levana this week. Or at the best case, Matzei Shabbos. But don't wait, bedavka, for Sunday night. Mishnah Berurah.
Is that correct according to the Vilna Gaon? Is that why we're not mekaddish levana until after Tisha B'Av? For the same reason, because you got to be mevusim of the simcha.
Right. So the Ramah writes, we're also not mekaddish levana until after Tisha B'Av. And over there, he doesn't have the svara, but over there we also mention the svara. Over there, many people say, "What do you mean? You have a mitzvah that comes down the pike. Why are you waiting for it? Mitzvah boliyat chal tach mitzana. Don't wait for it to happen right now." Others say there we're afraid the weather will be bad, but you don't have the svara of machri lekav schos like you have over here by Yom Kippur. But the Ramah does say the same thing by Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 31, the kiddush alavana yoyse toiv kishum uvosam b'simcha. He quotes the Medrash, but then he just leaves off. He says, "Avol da the kam achrayim. Many achrayim hold it's better to do it earlier." So it's not clear if the Mishnah Berurah is being as extreme as the Vilna Gaon, but he definitely acknowledges that there are those who disagree and they hold you should do it during earlier as well. The Aruch HaShulchan takes a very strong stand in number 32. He writes, "V'yesh ein mekadosh levana arach yom kippurim, v'yesh adraba lo hoisip b'mitzvah koidim yom kippurim mekadoshin." There are those who bedavka do it earlier, v'chein onu noigin, and that's what we do. The Aruch HaShulchan lived in the Vardik, so I guess in the Vardik they were noig to mekadosh levana earlier. They did not wait till Matzei Yom Kippur. If you look at the Nitta Gavriel, he lists a whole list of gedolim that followed the Vilna Gaon. He quotes over here from the Munkach Rebbe. That said, you should do it earlier. The Stechemed, that was the Minig in Yerushalayim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Spinka Minig, Reb Moshe Feinstein, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a whole list of people that Taka held, you should do it earlier. So then he writes over here, "Ay, Lamaisa, what's the Taina?" He writes over here, what happened to the Taina of Mitzvah Bol Yod Chal Tach Mitzenis? He says, "No, over here I'm not delaying it because I'm lazy. I'm delaying it because I want to do the Mitzvah properly." So he says, then the machshavas ha-mitzvah is machri lekavschus. He says, even those people who wait till Matzei Yom Kippur, they're not held accountable. Because I really would love to do the mitzvah now, but I can't do the mitzvah b'shlemusa because I'm not happy. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzarif, my ma'isa toiva, to want to do the mitzvah now, and that's machri lekavschus. Practically speaking, I think most shuls wait. But there's definitely a whole list of choshev apoyskim that thought Yitaka should be mekadosh levana right away. You shouldn't wait. I heard from a friend of mine, he wanted to be toil, this machloikis, in the machloikis Radvaz and Chacham Tzvi. The Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi have a machloikis, what happens if a guy's in jail, and they tell him you can come out for one tefillah. Pick the tefillah. So should he just pick the first tefillah that comes down, whether it be a random mincha, random ayiv, or should he wait till it's like a bigger deal tefillah? So he wanted to tell him here also. If the Vord is the first mitzvah that comes, do it. So even though now I'm not fully besimcha, but the mitzvah is here, so I should do the mitzvah. But if you hold there's a hiddur to do a mitzvah nicer, or it brings bigger chashivas to the mitzvah, so then you wait, even though we have the rule of mitzvah bol yodcha al tach mitzen. Okay, again, strictly...
By the way, Rabbi, I don't know if you saw the Rav Asher Weisheim on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
He cleared that dialogue about with Corona.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have the minion beforehand in order to make sure that you'll be okay, you know, on Rosh Hashanah,
right. The truth is, right. It's Be'etzem Tali in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, with the Gemara as a Shaila, is it more Kedai to have Bereivam Hadris Melech, or is it more Kedai to have Zuiza Makdim Lemitzah with regard to what time to blow Shaif? It's Be'etzem, the Gemara discusses a similar Shaila. Okay, let's just round out some more issues over here. So first of all, there's another Matta Ephraim. Matta Ephraim writes, Noye Gimish Loilazes Nesuim Yom Melu. No Chasanos during Aseres Mechuvu. Okay, there's not so many chasnas these days as it is. We're definitely limited travel. But the Matzah Frayim writes, there should be no chasnas during the Aseres Mechuvah. When we come back, nonetheless, in Be'ezah Oynis, V'si Ba'irish Osnesuin, Let's say, for example, there's uncontrollable situations, and you make a chas to b'yom tzom gedalia, im hu nidche, mutar machas b'kal lechol achas yotz, okay, then they can eat. But the point over here is that the Matzah Ephraim writes, you really shouldn't make chasadas during this time. The question is why? What's wrong with making a chasada during the Aseret Yemei? So if you look in the Nidre Gavriel, he has two interesting pshatim. He writes, Tam echod, the Omer Chazal, Hanoisi Isha Moichel Lavanoisi. The first pshat is because we know the Gemara says that if you marry a lady, you get Mechilas Avonis. Vim came. But Chilas Ashona, Ein Lelas Isha Stadlos Mechilas Avonis at Yom Kippurim. He says, an interesting svar. You're not supposed to do things to get Mechila if Hashem tells us we're getting Mechila on the 10th day. Don't try to, you know, like beat the system and get Mechila earlier. Shakadosh Baruch Hu b'tzirif atzum esher yoyim moichel avonosav. V'mishtado b'tchila mechila savonis k'ed mekpurim harei k'morim b'yad ha-melech. It's like you're trying to beat the system. Hashem said everyone gets Mechila on the 10th and you want to get Mechila on the 4th. Again, I would have thought not like that. I would have thought Hashem gave a heterim for people who want to get married, but this is one svar. His other svar is, because we know that what's considered a closed month, Tishrei is a closed month. It's a chodesh mischasa. And therefore he says that you're not supposed to get married at the time when it's mischasa. And therefore, till Yom Kippur, it's considered mischasa, and that's why we don't get married during this time. So he points out, what's a nafkamina? Nafkamina is zivuk sheni. We want to marry a second marriage. So many of the things that we do because of good mazel, we don't do by a second marriage. They don't get married under the Shemayim. There's a lot of other coolest. So the Achronim want to tell you, if the reason why you don't get married during Aseret Yemei is because you're trying to beat the system to get Mechila, so you get Mechila in a second marriage also. But if it's only because it's considered a covered month, and it's not a good idea to get married, Bizman Shalvana Mischasa, well, you don't have that in a second marriage, so L'chayru would be Mut. If you look in the Elif Lamata, number 35b, a commentary to the side of the Matta Ephraim, he has a whole different shot. He thinks the reason why you shouldn't get married is because it's too much geschmack. Chasnas are a lot of fun and takes away from the feeling that you're supposed to be having during this time. And therefore, he himself clears v'shayla. What happens if it's a second marriage? Right? Anyone's ever been to a second marriage, chasnas, they're not as lebedik as the first time around. So therefore, he has a tzad. Maybe it should be mutter because it doesn't carry the same joy. The Malamed Lohoyo, Reb Hoffman, he doesn't understand at all why you shouldn't be allowed to get married. He says he partially can't understand the reason why you shouldn't get married. And he writes over here. He says, I got married on Vav Tishrei. I got married, and there were big gedolim there. No one had any problems. There was nothing wrong with it. And he throws in the same argument from the Vilna Gaon. It's nacha mitzvah. You bring another mitzvah, the kav schos. Again, if you hold kedushin as a mitzvah, we spoke about this many times. So there was zok the malam of the hoyle. I see absolutely no problem with making a chasda during the Aseret Yemei. And that is also the opinion of Rabbi Avad Yosef. Rabbi Avad Yosef also holds, he sees no reason why you shouldn't get married during the Aseret Yemei. He says, maybe if it's a zivuk sheni and you already have kids, maybe different. But a regular first time and you haven't had children yet, avada, another mitzvah to tip the scales is even better, and you should get married during Aseret Yemei. Okay. The other big controversy that exists during the Aseret Yemei is what we find today between Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz. The Matzah Ephraim writes over number 38, V'noigim harbe mi anshei maisa. Many people that are very anshei maisa, you know, people that are very careful in what they do, loyma shir hamalois mi mamakim, to say shir hamalois mi mamakim, v'chenoimim b'chol yoyim mi asesi mi tshuva ad yachoyim kippurim, ben yishtabach l'kaddish. After yishtabach, before kaddish, they insert shir hamalois. And then they say kaddish u'boruch. That's what Matzah Ephraim brings down. The Magen Avraham brings down from Ksavim, a result. Kosav lo yimer b'aseres yemei tshuva mizmor mamakim gresicha Hashem min yishtabach liyotzer. Brings that from that result that you should say between yishtabach and yotzer, you should insert mi mamakim. Shir hamalos mi mamakim. That's what's widely done today in what we call today nusach svar tshuls. All the nusach svar tshuls, they have shir hamalos. So, but he leaves off with tzorachin. What's the tzorachin of the Magen Avraham? So the Achronim explain, he's bothered by the notion you're not supposed to be mafsik between yishtabach and baruchu. Right? The Gemara says anyone who's mafsid during this time, he has to return from war. So why would we put over there to say Yishtabach? So the Noidi Behuda writes, Bechlav HaKasha is not a Kasha. Because he tells us to look up a Rambam Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, Yesh Mekayim Shenoigim Bahem Likres Bechol Yoyim Akash Bevarchim Yishtabach Shiva Seyam. There were those places that used to say after Yishtabach, Oz Yosher. V'yachkach Bevarchim Al Shema. Then he said Shema. So Zok the Noidi Behuda, Zok the Archa Shulchan. So what do you see from over here? You see that it's not Shver. It's not when it says you're not supposed to interrupt between Yishtabach and Yotzer, that stop things. But praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a problem. And therefore, the Achronim want to be Miyashiv, the Magen Avraham, Sarachin, by with this Rambam. Okay. At the end of the day, the Ashkenazic community still doesn't say it, and the Sephardic community, the Nusach Sephardic still says it. But the Shaila is, what happens if you're davening in a Nusach Sephardic minyan? Should you say it with them, or should you not say it with them? So in the Sefer Olecha Bamitecha, written by the Debretziner Rav's brother, the Debretziner had a brother named the Betzel HaChochma, a Betzalel Stern. He lived in Australia. So he writes it this, number 41. This is not what I want over here. Oh, it's the wrong piece. I put the wrong piece in. Okay. I wanted the piece where he talks about if you're doubting this. I think he says that if you normally say it, you should say it with them. You should say it with them. But it's a shaila whether or not you as an Ashkenaz should say it. If you're a Sfarad, then he says you should say it. An Ashkenaz, that's not so posh. But they bring over here an interesting anhaga, which I think I heard from somebody, Michael, I think I heard this from you once, that they do in Tells, but I couldn't find it, that there are those places, and they quote over here from the Panovich Rav, that the Panovich Rav held that he wanted to make everyone happy, he wanted to say Shir HaMalos, but he didn't want to say it between Yishtabach and Berachas Kriyas Shema. So what he did was, he writes over here, L'chein hinig lo'im al'ach ha'chazor sashatz. They'd say it after Chazor sashatz.
No, they did it after davening.
After davening, okay. Then he writes over here, Shemati shekach
seid. By the way, Rabbi, I think the Gra also holds it to have seid.
Yes.
And the Gra doesn't say, because I think, don't quote me on this, but I think also in Chevron Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, I think they also don't say it.
Again, a lot of the yeshivas do not, because they hold this Magen Avraham's Tzarachin. But he writes over that they wanted to get both, so they'd say it afterwards. I think Rabbi Soloveitchik has a shtickle about this also, where he tries to also figure out another way where to insert the Shir HaMalos, not to miss his point. But that's an interesting idea that people talk about. Okay. Let's wrap up some other interesting halachas. So we mentioned over here number 43 from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, "Bebechas amazin yesh noigim loim arach v'lichadish k'moy Rosh Hashanah." The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down the same meaning that we saw from the Matz Ephraim, that a person should recite in the benching, he should say the harachamon that he says in Rosh Hashanah, and he also writes, "Noigim shloilasis esum yomei." He also brings down the meaning not to make chasanas. I don't know if anyone knows of any chasanas during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I have heard of chasanas that took place during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay, last part of our series of Yitzchuba is the Matz Ephraim. Matz Ephraim, I said this. B'mokim shemotzi shom moichri esrogim. If you have a community where the sellers of esrogim are available, noyagim anshe ma'isel yezrizim akdim and liknos lehem esrogim yofim umhudar. You go now and buy your lulav and your esrog. V'chein lohachim lehem lulavim v'adas l'mutzorech mitzvah. Stop preparing it. And every person according to his wealth, again, same svara. You want to get more mitzvahs. Again, obviously there's no mitzvah to buy a lulav and esrog. The mitzvah is to shake a lulav and esrog. Now, it's interesting, one would have thought maybe this is why some people put up their sukkah. Putting up a sukkah at least might be a mitzvah. Binyan sukkah might be a mitzvah. That's why I think some people build a sukkah during this time, because they want nacha mitzvah. So he writes to me, you should go out and buy your lulav and esrog now. Again, the problem with the lulav and esrog, you have to make sure that they're selling the lulav and esrog, but they are, they're out there. So the Matz Ephraim brings down a minute, you should go buy your lulav and esrog now to have another schus on your side. Then if you look over here in the Sefer Chag B'Chag, he quotes from the drushes of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer disagrees. He writes, She'ein la'achinam koidim yom kippurim. The Chassam Sofer held, B'davka, don't buy your lulav and esrog till after Yom Kippur. Why? Because he says the war's not over yet. You can't rejoice until the battle's over. He writes over the koydim gemar hanitzoyach ksiv al yisal chigir kmaftech. Ubefrat kiyoyim shemetzuyim dal minum leroy b'shvakim vaheloch shama einba mirivu kovet shemayim das agdolim shanoyik samsoy bevadel hivs. Belina, the next week we'll have a shir, not Tuesday night but Wednesday night, what to look for when you buy your dal minum. Okay, giving one a few days what to look for when you buy your dal. I mean, that will be next week's share. But here is machloekis chasam soifer the Matz Ephraim. Should you buy your lulav and esrog before Yom Kippur, or should you buy your lulav and esrog after Yom Kippur? Let's just talk for a second about erev Yom Kippur. The Rama writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, ein noifim l'alpneim b'erev Yom Kippur. There's no tachnon on erev Yom Kippur. Hagav v'gam ein noifim l'matzeach u'mizm l'soido. Again, a couple major changes to the davening. First of all, no tachnon, very short slichas. No lam natzeich and no mizmul asoida. Gam in oimim koyim alat yishach habes slichas v'yesh b'kar misnoigim habes slichas. The Yekis have a very long slichas on erev Yom Kippurim. The rest of us don't. Ulenin amir savim makenu be Yom Kippurim yesh machlokes be'achrayim uminig iri my city in Krakow is shaloi la'omrei. The Rama did not say avim makenu kiim kishachayim Kippurim b'Shabbos. Why are all these changes? Because erev Yom Kippur has a din of a yomtiv. Since erev Yom Kippur has a din of, it's not an erev Yom Tov. Erev Yom Kippur is a yomtiv itself. And that's why no lam natseach, that's why there's no tachnun, there's no mizmul soida, because there's not enough time to eat the carbon toida, and that's why there's also no avinu malkinu. So again, that's El on Erev Yom Kippur, because Erev Yom Kippur is treated like a Yom. So Mitzvah Shem, Rabbi say that tomorrow night we will have a Chumashir slash Shabbat Shuvah type drasha concept. We'll discuss the parasha along with Yom Kippur. Mitzvah Shem, Sunday morning we will have our shir on why do we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, mixed with lumdis and very important halacha. And then a mitzvah Shem, not Tuesday night, because I need a little bit of time to prepare, because Yom Tov ends, Yom Kippur's Monday night, Tuesday is not really so much time. We'll make it Wednesday night, what to look for when purchasing Dalet Minim. That I think will be very, very eye-opening for many of us, as we'll see that many of us perhaps are looking for the wrong things when we buy Dalet Minim. We should look for the right things. Wishing everyone a Gemar Chasim Toiva, good Kibben Shur, an easy fast, a meaningful fast. Everyone should be well. Only brachas of Yeshua's for all our families and for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen. Thank you.
Be well, everyone. Have a good night.
Night.